Translation. One who wants to be free of material entanglement should take to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and give up the contamination of ignorance involving pious and impious activities. Thus, one regains his original identity, just as a block of gold or silver sheds all dirt and becomes purified when treated with fire. May that inexhaustible Supreme Personality of Godhead become our spiritual master, for he is the original spiritual master of all other spiritual masters. Om agyanti marandasya gyanam jana salakya chakshuram yuritam yena tasmai sri guru venama sri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam tatati svapadatka nichananda putendu vasura prana valabhajani vijivita bhati krishna prema padapabu patma vati sutta sriman sachinanda purva jopa forma goya patata rakta gora kalevara namo mahavarayaya krishna prema padayate krishna chaitanya namne gora sri senama Tapta Kanchana Gora Girare Vindavanishwari Frisavana Suti Devi Prana Viharigari E Krishna Kanuna Sindhu Dino Pandu Jagatpati Gobisha Gopika Kanta Rara Kanta Namosute Hariharibo Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In human life, one is meant to undergo austerity to purify one's existence. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam sudyet. Because of contamination by the modes of material nature, one continues in the cycle of birth and death. Karanam gunasango shat sat asat yoni janmasyu. Therefore, the purpose of human life is to purify oneself of this contamination so that one can regain his spiritual form and not undergo this cycle of birth and death. The recommended process of decontamination is devotional service to the Lord. There are various processes for self-realization such as karma, jnana and yoga, but none of them is equal to the process of devotional service. As gold and silver can be freed from all dirty contamination by being put into fire, but not merely by being washed, the living entity can be awakened to his own identity by performing devotional service, yat sevaya, but not by karma, jnana or yoga. Cultivation of speculative knowledge or practice of yogic gymnastics will not be helpful. We all, as devotees, we have the desire to become a pure devotee, isn't it? That's why we're here. And in the beginning, you might think, well, I'm quite together, I'm quite pure, etc. But then when you mature in devotional service, you realize how much dirt there is, a whole block behind your ear and there. In the beginning you didn't notice it, and then when you come, because you purify yourself, so your senses become also purified, so you notice more the things, even little things, which you didn't notice before, and sometimes even the big things which you also completely overlooked. So I have a strong desire not to come back to this material world. I don't have a desire to go to the heavenly planets, although I do have a desire to enjoy, but I know I won't be happy there either. Because, when I was young, 22, and everything was in working order, I still wasn't happy, I already wasn't happy. Because, like you, most of you, there was something missing. Because when I was 23, I saw a wrinkle and I thought, oh, my youth is over. And then I saw that everyone is going to die, so I will be dying too. And so I became really anxious to find out, why? Why am I alive? What is the goal of life? Not looking for God at all, looking for the truth, the why I was alive. And I told you know, my closest friend said, I was going to go to India. I was going to go to a forest, don't know why, to find out why I was alive. I thought I would become enlightened in the forest. Probably wouldn't have survived long. So then I came in contact with Krishna consciousness, and all the questions which I couldn't find in any other religion or philosophy were just there. And then the devotee said, well, so now you don't have to go to India anymore, isn't it? You found, why don't you move in the temple? I thought, okay, like that. So I, you know, like now, it's the perfect time to be at the manor, weather-wise. But when I walk around the manor, I see beautiful flowers in bloom, but then I see some of them who are already withered and dead. And that, you know, that makes me sad, depresses me. And I long to be in a world where every flower is just perfect. You know, there are no wrinkles, where there's no old age and no disease and no disharmony and no horrible flies or mosquitoes, where it's just everything perfect and everyone gets along with each other. Wouldn't you like to go there? So I have that strong desire to go there. But I have the misfortune that I also like to enjoy. So these two things are always, you know, and each one of us has that in more or less degrees, to fight against your senses who want to enjoy, and your soul who wants to enjoy more subtle, more on soul platform, and your mind who always on the side of your senses who want to enjoy on your bodily, you know, on your, to give your body pleasure. So the whole art of devotional life or of spiritual life is to all the time to discriminate from what is sense gratification and what is for the benefit of my soul. You know, and sometimes you have to go, okay, you do it. And then afterwards you will feel good, you know, because whenever you follow that voice which says, come on, enjoy, enjoy, you end up always frustrated that it wasn't that good as you thought it was going to be, isn't it? Do you have that experience? No, none of you. Okay, yeah. Well, I thought I was the only one. So that's, you know, that's Maya. Maya is illusion. And Maya is a servant of the Lord. She puts a veil in front of us, and because of that veil, we identify with our body and with the bodies around, thinking them that body is real. And then when you see them back in 30 years, then you have a fright. I saw someone outside yesterday. I hope he's not listening. Anyway. And he was a fighter, brahmachari, sankirtan devotee, all shiny, etc. And he's about 15 or 20 years younger than me. And then I saw him back yesterday, and he was all... and looked very, you know, very... You know, lost his luster, and I said, "Wow, how the body can change!" You know, sometimes you see people who haven't changed much, but sometimes they really change. And how does a change come to someone? Because they say when you're 20, that's the face you're born with, and when you're 50, that's the face you make of it, of your life. So if you're all the time depressed, then you get depressing lines, and if you're happy, you get happy lines, and if you're eat healthy and are peaceful, then your face is also peaceful. And if you disturb them, you know, like that. So of course health is not so good for your luster, but if you're healthy, health is good, then you should have, by being a devotee, by chanting Hare Krishna, you should be shiny. Well, I'm shiny, but I put oil on my face, so that's not real shine. Look at the others, they are real shine, like the brahmacharis. You know, or many of them. They have a shiny face, Prabhupada said, you know, they glow, a glow. And sometimes the family, when they see the child back after they've been like 2 months in the temple, they, you know, they think, wow, you look so wonderful. And then they might not think much of Krishna consciousness, but they think it does a, you know, a lot of good to my son. You know, he looks so much healthier and happier. So I continue with the purport. The word Vainam refers to the luster of one's original identity. The original luster of gold or silver is brilliant. Similarly, the original luster of the living being who is part of the Sat-Chit Ananda Vigraha is the luster of Ananda, or pleasure, Ananda Vyasat. Every living entity has the right to become Anandamoy, joyful, because he's part of the Sat-Chit Ananda Vigraha Krishna. So why should the living being be put into tribulation because of dirty contamination by the material modes of nature? Therefore, one should adopt the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is described here as Guru, Guruhu, the spiritual master of all spiritual masters. Even though we may not have the fortune to contact the Supreme Lord personally, the Lord's representative is as good as the Lord himself, because such a representative does not say anything unless it is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore gives a definition of a guru. Yare deka tarikaha Krishna Padesh. The bona fide spiritual master, guru, is he who advises his disciples exactly in accordance with the principles spoken by Krishna. The bona fide guru is he who has accepted Krishna as guru. This is the guru parampara system. The original guru is Vyasadeva because he is a speaker of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein everything spoken relates to Krishna. Therefore, guru puja is known as Vyas puja. In the final analysis, the original guru is Krishna. His disciple is Narada, whose disciple is Vyas. And this way we gradually come in touch with the guru parampara. One cannot become a guru if he does not know what the personality of Godhead Krishna or his incarnation wants. The mission of the guru is the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So in the Western world you see many gurus. You see posters of gurus, Guru Mataji, Guru this, Guru that. And they have names like Sahaja Yoga, and this yoga, and that yoga, Vikram Yoga, this yoga. But does any one of them mentions the name Krishna, mentions God? No. They just speak flowery language of the Vedas, you know, to bewilder people. Ah, that sounds very good, sounds very deep, you know, ah, thank you. You know, like that, and people are in awe, and they all steal knowledge from the Vedas, but they use it to show off. Sometimes it happens that non-devotees are impressed by devotees, that they are very learned, not knowing that they're actually, you know, repeating what they have heard. Right, and not really realized it themselves. You know, I know a story of one girl who met a Sankirtan devotee, who was very handsome also. but he was speaking so beautifully, and she fell in love with him, like that. And they ultimately married. You know, but then one day, but this boy was quite sentimental, and not too intelligent, but he was sincere at one point. So one day he was doing books distribution, and then he saw someone fleeing from a jewelry shop, a robber, and he chased him. And then the robber turned to him and shot him. So then the boy, you know, was badly hurt in his vital parts. But he never got over it. He couldn't take it that this happened to him. And then he started finding faults in everything. And then the girl lost his interest and left him. He became sour, and she saw him from what he actually, you know, that he wasn't that Krishna conscious as she thought he was. He was. So I would have said, if I would be there, you know, like, it is not our duty. It's a hero, your great hero. He also got a golden watch from the jeweler in thanks, or a silver watch. But it's not our duty as a Sankirtan devotee to chase after a robber. There's other people like that. Your time is to save the souls of people, not merely some gold or silver of a jewelry shop. Do you agree with that? Like that. So, but he didn't have that conception. He was more being a good, he was good. He was really a nice guy, someone everyone liked. But it was sentimental. You see, he couldn't discriminate between what is for the soul, and because there are many devotees who are very nice but they're sentimental, and there are many devotees who are grumpy but they write on. but the best is to have a devotee who is and nice and write on, be able to discriminate what is for your soul the best, and you know what is Maya. You understand? Like that. But better to have a grumpy devotee than a nice devotee who's wishy-washy and tells you, doesn't really help you, just blows your boil. Oh, you know, like that. So, you know, like, so Krishna consciousness, for me, when I came in contact with Krishna consciousness, it was just like, and probably for you also, it was like this load falling off you, you know, like, I'm home, I am finally, everything makes sense, everything, like that. So Maya is there to test us. It's her engagement, her service, to test those who are on their path, on the spiritual path, to purify themselves, how sincere and how knowledgeable we are and how determined we are. And so in this case of this devotee, you know, he lost it because of, he was more inclined to being a goodie than, you know, using his brains to be what should I do, what shouldn't I do, like that. And so Maya is testing us, and the difficulty is that how better, how more you become fixed up, you know, she find better ways or more subtle ways to sidetrack you, you know, and the most subtle ones are profit, distinction, adoration, you know, like that, you know. Yeah, people start all saying, oh, you're a pure devotee, you're a great soul, and you start thinking, I must be a great, everyone says it, you know, like that. So, yes, and you start thinking it yourself, like that. Although you actually knew you were, so it's so, you know, it can be so gross, Maya, but can it be also so subtle that it's so hard to figure out what is to be done and what isn't to be done, according to the right time, the right circumstances. When should you speak up to correct? When should you just put a hand on your mouth and just say it later? And it's so difficult. But everything is there in the scriptures. And everything is there, you know, in all the books which are written about Prabhupada, in all his conversations, in his morning walks. You only hear one time something, you know, and that one. So that's why it's very important for devotees to be able to know everything what Prabhupada had ever said. You know, so there's MP3s out there, which are available. And do you have them in your library, an MP3 with all Prabhupada lectures? Yeah. So it's like that. And so if you are like you're not initiated yet, so you listen to Prabhupada and you choose a guru who's speaking the same way as Prabhupada. Like that, in his line. And if you hear Prabhupada speaking, some people say, well, yes, he was just saying the ABC. You know, that's what they say. Now we're talking about Krishna stealing the food from his friend's mouth and put it in his mouth. You know, nectar stories and like that. But Prabhupada was all the time correcting us. Like we were yesterday talking about heavy gurus and gurus being heavy to the disciples. And then... who was that? Shivaram? Someone would say Shivaram or Swami said, you think I'm heavy, you know, that Tamakrishna is much heavier than me, and Tamakrishna says, Prabhupada is much heavier than me, you know, like that. You know, who wants a guru who says, hi, Bill, oh, you're doing nicely. No, you want to go ahead. Well, what is it? Why, you know, get yourself together, you know, shape up. What is it? You know, like this. Who encourage you lovingly, because a chastisement. Because if he doesn't care, he wouldn't say anything to you. But if he corrects you, if he says, Prabhu, don't sit like this, or Prabhu, you know, you shouldn't do this like that, or stand like this, or don't speak like this, or like that, then he's concerned with you. So you should be happy if someone corrects you. But our false ego is that, because including myself, no one wants to be corrected. Hari Hari Bol. This is one of the most beautiful outfits. It's so exquisite, very simple, but for so elegant and opulent because of the simplicity. Lovely. And it dressed very nicely as well, especially Mother Sita. So you need a guru who has time for you. Srila Prabhupada, although he has thousands of disciples, even if someone gave him a little present, even a handkerchief or a pair of socks, or if someone wrote him something, someone, not even his disciple, he found the time, despite his busy schedule, to write them back. And like I myself, you know, I try to write back to everyone. You know, but I find that I write letters to people and they don't even respond, you know. You know, and I find it painful. My false ego also find it insulting, you know, like that. But I find it impersonal and like that. Anyway, but so like that. So if you want to, it is said that if you choose a guru, then you should travel 1 year with them to find out, you know, how they behave, because they might behave very nicely when you see them, but you don't know what they, the rest of the time, you know, like that. They might, like that. So, and also then the guru can also test the disciple to see how obedient is my disciple to follow my instructions. Who wants to have a disciple, you know, who you instruct and they go, well, that's your opinion. You know, do you want to take the sin of that such a person? I don't, you know, like that. So, like that. So, Krishna consciousness is to purify ourselves, and you can only become purified if you're honest. You can be the most lusty, the most angry, the most greedy, the most crazy person. If you have this desire to be sane, to be not lusty, to be not greedy, to be pure and simple and humble, that is more important than be very intelligent or be very too materially together like that. This strong desire and to please the deities, the Lord, to please Srila Prabhupada by distributing his books, by pleasing the deities, by cooking nice offerings, or dressing them nicely, making garlands for them, or, you know, or by pleasing the Lord, by spreading his glories, by, again, preaching in any kind of field, in the university, on the street, to any guest who comes here. And in this way, Krishna, you become pleased. I have, from past experience, from my own experience, certain people, I have a natural liking to them. Do you have that as well? That some people you have a natural, you know, you can get along with them. Other people, they're not, you wouldn't associate with them. But that somehow or other, they're always so nice to you that they start, that you start liking them because they always, they think of you and they're considerate of you. Then you think, oh, he's quite nice. Or she, or whatever, you know, like that. So, so Krishna, we are like Krishna is, you know, if even, you know, of course he likes all of them, but you know, if we've been abominable and horrible to him for many lifetimes, then if we turn to him and try to please him, then immediately, you know, he, you do one step towards him, he takes 10 steps to you, you know, like that. And, and in this way, you make spiritual advancement. So it's all up to you. It's all up to you. And how eager you are. And this eagerness you show from the very moment you wake up. You know, it starts there. You know, your senses go, and your intelligence saying, oh, if you wake up now. Mind goes, you know, it starts there. And if you can control that first, your mind, at that very first moment you wake up, and preach to your mind, and defeat his arguments, and saying, I want to get up. Because I can chant some rounds before Mangalarti. I love chanting before Mangalarti. I know, tired. I take rest later. No, let me get up. Okay. And then afterwards, he feels okay, the mind. After the, you know, then he's peaceful. Like that. Do you agree with that? Because here, I don't see many people before Mangalarti. More Matatis than of the Brahmacharya Ashram. Of course, you work very hard. But chanting... chanting before Mongol Arti, that goes so quick. Your mind is so peaceful. After Mongol Arti, I'm tired already. You know, before Mongol Arti, it's so nice, so nice. So please, you know, try to do an extra endeavor while I'm here. To think of that. In the morning, the mind, no, let me try. And you find, you know, and then once you've tasted that, then remember yesterday I felt good. Let me do it again, like that. And in this way, you gradually, you can control that mind. You know, like some, I get very quickly upset. You know, anyone who looks bad at me or speaks who is rude or. And not talking about non-devotees. my heart goes, ow. You know, every one of us, because the soul is so sensitive, you know, like that. And if I get corrected, I also go, ow. My mind goes, you know, like that. But then afterwards I think, yes, he's right. Thank you. You like that. But I myself have the tendency to correct a lot. Somehow or other, I think it's my duty, but it's not my duty, you know. But somehow I think, well, if I don't say it, no one's going to say it. So I have the tendency, especially if it's towards the deities or towards Prabhupada or whatever, if I see something like it used to be like that and not, it's not done, then I have the tendency to mention it. But, you know, and then some people say, oh, thank you, Prabhu. And others say, no one ever told me that, you know, but in a negative way. Or I say, Prabhu, you're seeing a little nasal. What do you mean? So that's, you know, that's the mind. You know, the mind says, what do you mean? I'm correct. How dare you say that? How dare I, you know, I'm a professional singer. And one time in 1973, when I was a young devotee, Hans Dutta, Hans, have you ever heard of him? He is a fabulous singer. He has a beautiful voice. And he was organizing these Hare Krishna festivals in Berlin and Hamburg. And you know this picture which you had there on the street? That was one in Stockholm. And he had one in Amsterdam. And I was singing in the chorus. But I was doing a kind of weird harmony. And then the sound engineer told me, get off stage. My mind went, so it's like that, you know, the Krishna, you know, Krishna doesn't want you to become proud. Proud. So then he finds ways, you know, to if, as soon as you have a little proud, then you just take the rug under your feet, you tumble like that. And then when it happens, I think, oh, Krishna, you're naughty, but you're right. Thank you for reminding me like that. Any question or comment?